project focuses on Fusarium vesculoides. Fusarium has three different modes of infection: silks, injury, or soil. When Fusarium infects through silks, the conidia will get transferred to the silks and then infect the corn as it's developed. And you get no symptoms, the starburst symptom like you see here, or granules. Through injury, it infects through insect damage or tail damage, and the symptoms are very similar to when you get silk infection. When Fusarium infects through soil, stalk rots generally occur. Fusarium also reduces yield and reduces quality through mold and discoloration. So like I said, the Fusarium conidia will infect the silks and infect the ear as it develops, and you get mold. But even the kernels that do not show mold can still be infected. One of the main concerns with Fusarium is toxins. The main toxin is fumonisin B1, and it causes diseases in swine, horses, humans. The presence and then concentration of this toxin varies from year to year. Thus, the main objective is to better understand the population and biology of Fusarium. We wanted to know if there is one big population or if there are several discrete populations that differ in pathogenicity and toxin production. We did this through two methods, VCG analysis and ASOP analysis. VCG is vegetative compatibility groups, and it determines if two different isolates can fuse and share nuclei. ASOP is amplified fragment-like polymorphism, and it's a genetically neutral way of finding variation in a genome. The main hypothesis, we wanted to answer the question, are the different geographic populations in corn the same? So our geography was the Corn Belt. We collected 408 total isolates on two different cultivars of corn at 8 locations in 12 states. The first thing we did with the isolates was to run the VCG test. The first process is to generate mutants by growing isolates on chlorite media, and then to categorize the mutants by growing the media on different sources of nitrogen. Next, we pair complementary net mutants that were derived from the same strain, and one of two things would happen. You would either get no growth and no heterocaryon, or you would get growth and form a heterocaryon. For those that formed a heterocaryon, we paired them that were from different strains and analyzed it again. If they formed a heterocaryon, they were in the same VCG group, while if they didn't, they were in a different VCG group. We collected 66 different VCG groups, and some of the groups look like this. They were all in one location. This could be because of a local occurrence, or the VCG group may be at a low frequency population and was only distributed to one location. We could not determine which of these analyses is true because they're a data set. Other VCG groups acted like this. They were distributed across a wide variety of locations. This could have been a local occurrence, but due to the geographical separation, it argues against local evolution. One hypothesis is that it could be moved around by the seed. To further develop our ideas that we found in the VCGs, we ran ASLPs. There are four main steps in ASLPs: isolate DNA from cultures, digest and ligation, preamplification, and selective amplification. So you start with your DNA, and you add two restrictive enzymes, most of the time EcoR1 and MSC1. These restriction enzymes will cut the DNA at specific locations. Then you add your linkers. Generally, the step one and step two is ran in one reaction called the digestion ligation. Then in your amplification, you only amplify fragments that have the linker attached to it. This reduces the amount of fragments that are in the reaction. Similarly, in the fourth step is another amplification. You add two primers that have two additional base pairs. These two additional base pairs make the primers more picky as to where they cut and what they amplify. So again, it reduces the number of fragments. You also add P33 to make your primer radioactive, so the bands will show up on your gel. So after everything was amplified, you ran your gel, you dried your gel, you put your gel with radioactive film, and then you developed it. And you get this. The top part are the isolates, and each isolate has its own lane. The lanes on the far left and the far right are the ladders, and that tells us the sizes of the bands that are present. To make this easier, we're going to look at just a portion of the gel. So think back to the steps of the AFLP process. The fragments that were amplified, each fragment is a band on the gel. In areas which the band is present, these isolates share common bands and have the same fragments in their genome, while isolates that do not have the bands do not have the same fragment in the genome, but instead have different fragments. The rest of the gel was scored similarly to this on an absent or present on whether the bands were there or not. So we took the AFLP data and ran two methods of analysis, POP and SAS, to determine how many bands the isolates had in common. So this tree diagram groups the isolates with the most bands in common close together, forming distinct AFLP groups. So we're going to look at this part. This was a group of clones. They were all in the same location and all had the same BCG group. However, other portions, such as this, were distinctly different. This is one fingerpinning cluster. We had highly related strains and very little genetic variation within the group. They were essentially the same population. However, this was all of the groups represented with this one AFLP group. This supports the idea that the pathogen is being moved around by the seed. So, what does all this mean? We had 66 BCG groups out of 408 isolates in 8 states and 12 locations. Single BCG groups were found in different geographic locations. As we expected, some BCG groups were unique to a single geographic location. However, all AFLP groups were found in multiple geographic locations. This supports the idea that the probability that the pathogen is being distributed by the seed or other human means. Further research is being currently conducted to get more data to support this theory. I'd like to acknowledge Professor James Stack, who is my advisor for this project, the K-State Weed Agronomy Club for funding my trip, Sandy Uriarte with the tech in our lab, and Professor John Leslie's lab, who helped me immensely in the data analysis and the collection of the isolates. Thank you for your time. Any questions? Thank you.